It probably will now. Hallelujah. Tried something different. Trying to get rid of the possessed computer. Praise the Lord. Talking about changing the way you think. You know, we have to change the way we think. And not be such an earthly-minded person that's so focused on the things of this earth. You know, I'm going to show you in the course of this that, I'm going to show you your timeline. And today we're going to look at some different elements of your life and how God has stages throughout eternity. And then we're going to look at, and we'll finish up with seven things that you earn rewards for. People have asked me, well, how do I earn rewards? Well, I'm going to show you today. So you'll see just how you earn rewards. Understanding God's system. Understanding His system, you know. Let's look at Hebrews 11, very important scripture, verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better, everybody says better, resurrection. That's what we want, isn't it? That's what we want. You know, they say the disciples, the most popular thing that's said about the disciples is that they stole the body of Jesus and they hid it so that they could promote this religion called Christianity. Back in the day, it was called the Way, is what it was called. And so they wanted to promote Christianity, so they said they hid the body of Jesus. The disciples stole it. Well, this is a little thing about the disciples that followed Jesus and what happened to them, okay? Now, you won't find this in the Bible. This is found in secular history through the writings of Josephus and several other historians of the day. Josephus was a Jewish historian that wrote about Israel and everything. He was alive around the time of Christ. James the apostle, he was executed, okay? We know that. He had his head chopped off right before before Easter, actually, before Easter. And it made all the people happy, made all the people happy. Peter, he ended up in 64 AD, he ended up crucified upside down. Andrew, he was hanged on an olive tree, he was actually hanged on an X on the olive tree. And his story is that the reason why they crucified him that way is because he converted a king's wife to Christianity, and the king got mad, and so the king had him executed. And he hung there for several days, and the king felt sorry for him and was going to take him down, and he begged that the king would leave him alone and just let him die. He wanted to die as a martyr, you know, and receive a martyr's reward. And you get mad if somebody sits in your seat. All right, it went possessed quick. Lord have mercy, I got to figure this thing out. It isn't that, I know that. Let me go ahead and talk about him. Thomas, they took a spear and they thrust Thomas through with a spear and killed him. Philip, he was tortured in 55 AD. He was tortured and he was crucified. Matthew, he was beheaded in between 60 and 70 AD. They don't know exactly. Daniel, he was flayed and he was crucified. Or Nathaniel, I'm sorry, in 70 AD. Nathaniel is also Bartholomew in your Bible. That's another name for him. Boy, this thing ain't going to last at all, is it? James the Lesser is his name. James the Lesser. Not that he was any less, but see, there was a James that was the brother of John. And they're just trying to specify which James this is. This is James the Less, okay? He was also killed. He was actually beaten to death with a club. They clubbed him to death and killed him. And then there's Simon the Zealot in 74 AD. He was martyred. And then there's Judas Thaddeus. He was beaten to death in 72 AD. There's Matthias, who was the one that was chosen after Judas Iscariot hanged himself. He was stoned to death while he was hanging on a cross. John was fried in oil, boiling oil actually, in 95 AD. And Paul, he was finally beheaded in 67 AD, okay? If you're one of those people that believe the disciples stole the body and hid it so they could promote this religion, you're a fool. Because I do not believe that all of these people would die for a lie. That's just my opinion. I just think that's foolish to even think that way, that these people would die for a lie, you know? No, the reason why they allowed themselves death is found in that last scripture, which says they were seeking a better resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. They were seeking a better resurrection. And that's what everybody wants, right? Hopes of a better eternal life once we leave this earth. Now, there is a great reward coming. In Luke 6:23, it says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great." Everybody say great. In heaven. So there is a great reward day coming. I like hearing those words. You like hearing those words? What do you have to do to get a great reward? Well, let me show you. You may not like this as much. The verse right before that, Luke 6:22. "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Blessed also," said to the rich young ruler, "give," or Jesus also said to the rich young ruler, "give all that you have to the poor, follow me, and you have treasures in heaven." Oh, hallelujah. So in order to get the great reward, you have to be persecuted in this life for Jesus' sake. And that's why all of those martyrs died. That's why they all allowed themselves to be died. Now, Jesus gave this rich young ruler here a different statement, which he hasn't given to anyone else. He realized that his problem was pride and greed. And so he said, what you need to do is get rid of all your stuff, because your stuff is blocking your ability to earn rewards. By that statement alone, I see something. See, I'm always asking questions. I'm a question person, okay? And I'm always asking questions. So questions are good. Jesus also said to the rich young ruler, "Give all that you have to the poor, follow me, and you have great treasures in heaven." What I have asked from that question or that statement is, what does that mean? What exactly does that statement mean? That statement actually means that whatever I do on this earth affects my heaven. Amen? Somebody's keeping a record of what's going on in heaven by what's going on this earth. So whatever I do on this earth, it affects my heaven. Our gifts on this earth are from believing. Listen to what God is asking us. Now, let me tell you right now, He's not asking us to have some miserable existence on this earth for the sake of being greatly rewarded in heaven. So I have to say that so people don't get all twisted. You know, if I get blessed, that means I don't have rewards waiting on me. That's not what it says. He is saying the consequences in heaven are for certain done by the actions on this earth. Those things have the ability to transform our pain that we experience now into joy when we see the reward that awaits us. Now here's another question that I have to ask. See, I'm a question person. Do you really believe? Everybody in here has to answer this question. Do you really believe that the treasures in heaven are real? See, that's what you have to answer. If there's verses you got to look at. Matthew 19:21, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect," that means mature, "go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." That's the statement, the actual statement that he said to the rich young ruler. If you want to be perfect, if you want to be mature, if you want to have treasures, go sell your stuff. Then he said in Matthew 16, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and his angels. Look here. Then he will reward. Everybody say reward. Each according to his work. Some people say, well, I don't really necessarily need rewards. Hey, come on, folks. He's prominent to us. He's promised us rewards. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh, hallelujah. If you put your treasure in heaven, that's where your heart is. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I don't do things unless I know it's God. I don't do stuff. In my last 30 years of being a Christian, I've had so many business opportunities, mindsets, ideas, and God has said no. And so I just gave up on the idea of earning extra money. Oh, well, he says no. Whatever he says counts. You know, I can't tell you how many people. Well, I got a good job in another town. Of course, there ain't no church there. And of course, their little babies are going to be twisted all over the place. But, you know, I got this good job there. And then they go there. Their kids turn into teenagers and they're disasters. Because they didn't have that upbringing. You know? I remember I was sitting back here and I watched them, all these little ones running all over the place in here. And Joel, he come running up the center aisle there, you know, and I looked at him. I said, I remember he's in a car seat. You know, he's in a car seat. And, you know, I asked Brett, I says, you know, what's Joel think? Can't hardly wait to get to church. Man, is that the way we should be? That's the way we should be, isn't it? Oh, my God, Sunday's over. I got to wait a whole week. To get to church again. You know? That means your heart is there. That's why God said that you had to become like a child. You know, that their heart is there. Now, he didn't say you can't do things. And he didn't say you can't move. And he didn't say you can't do all this stuff. He said, just don't let that stuff have your heart. See, that's the balance, because we get so twisted, you know, in our balance. In Luke 14, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, speaking of giving to the poor, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Whew. You know, either the treasures in heaven are real or Jesus is telling us a lie right there. And I believe that God is keeping track, and I don't believe that Jesus lies. Now, let me give you two quick keys that will determine how and where you spend eternity. Key number one, these are two quick keys to eternity. The first key is belief, okay? This key unlocks the door to eternal life, period. It determines where, everybody say where, you will spend eternity. The belief key. Belief in repentance and the eternal work that Jesus did on the cross produces heaven and eternal life in our lives. Belief is so important. It is so, so, so important what you believe. Whew. That's why it says the church grew so great in the early church, because they were all in one accord to the apostles' doctrine. They knew what they believed. Oh, hallelujah. And nobody was turning their heads any other way. No TV preacher, no radio preacher, and none of this milquetoast junk that's going on right now. Belief in the eternal work of Jesus produces heaven and eternal life. Unbelief produces eternal death and departure from God's presence in a lake of fire. There ain't no other way to describe it. That is unbelief. Hallelujah. That is unbelief. That is not evil. That is not horror. That is unbelief. Right there. Revelation 20. And whoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So your name must be in that book. It must be written down. I believe that every single person starts out this life as a baby with their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every single one of them. And throughout the course of their life, you can get your name erased. Erased. I got scripture to prove that, but I'm not going to waste it right now. I get very few precious time. Second key to eternity is behavior. First key is belief. That determines where. Behavior, this key unlocks the door to rewards and determines how. Everybody say how. Belief determines where. Behavior determines how you will spend eternity. How will you spend eternity? Get this thought in your mind, folks. Something I do today will matter forever. Something I do today will matter forever. Everybody look up here. Blink. Did everybody blink? It's faster than that. That song that Ron sung takes place faster than you just blinked. It says in a twink. And scientists say a twink is a little bit faster than a blink. They do. I went, wow. Like that movie Friday night. The guy's in his locker talking to a guy, and the guy just turns over, and there's a pile of clothes laying there on the floor. That fast while he was talking to the guy. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. A twink is faster than a blink. That's how fast you will enter into eternity. Oh, hallelujah. 1 minute you're here, the next minute you're in eternity. And your infinite future will be determined by your present works on this earth. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with all His angels, and He will reward each one according to his works. People say, where do you get the Jesus rewards? Right there. He will reward each person according to their works. Man, I'll tell you, I got so much. Help me, Jesus. Maybe we need to look at a timeline to get some perspective of things. There are 6 major events that take place in our lives. And for that timeline, for us to follow, these events take place in our life, each and every one of us. Doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, black, white, green, purple, have orange hair or purple hair. Wear earrings or don't. Long dresses, short dresses, doesn't make any difference. Long hair, short hair, makes no difference at all. Everybody experiences these 6 timelines. Hallelujah. Let's look at them. First, life. You've been created in God's image for a life purpose. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. What's blameless mean? Without blame. At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So everybody in this room, I know for a fact, was born. Pretty cool, isn't it? Look over at somebody and say, you know you were born. Okay? Now let me give you another cool fact. Everybody in this room is going to die. Don't tell them that. They already know it. I call it the ultimate statistic. 100 out of 100 people die. Period. Okay? You're going to be dead a whole lot longer than you were alive. But we're going to only die physically, not spiritually. See, that's the twist in the matter. Jesus said in Luke 23:40, and Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, you'll be with me in paradise." One of the seven statements he made from the cross to the thief. Today we're going to die, but when we open our eyes, we're in paradise. Hallelujah. And that's if you're born again. You know? Then there's destination. You reach your destination after death, which is determined by what you believed on this earth. According to John 14:2, "In my Father's house have many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Talking to the Christian, okay? And then again, he talked to the Pharisees who were like serpents. He said, "Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" Those were the religious people of the day he was talking to. Wow. Everybody dies. Everybody goes to a specific destination. Everybody is even resurrected. You will receive a resurrected body. I love this part. John 5. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves," everybody say all. Who is that? "Will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Do you know what you have to do to be considered done evil? Not believe. That's what you got to do to be considered evil in God's eyes. Just don't believe and you're considered evil. So resurrection, then fifthly is repayment. You are rewarded or given retribution for eternity based on what you did on this earth or you did not do while you were in this body. Repayment. Oh, hallelujah. In Matthew 11:21, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you," these are two cities, "have been done in Tyre and Sidon," which were two cities God destroyed, "they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." Wow. Do you know who the king of Tyre was, by the way? Ezekiel 28 tells you who the king of Tyre was. He was the devil. He said, "It'll be more easier for you," you know? And then in Matthew 23:14, he gives them that thing. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses for a pretense and make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation." Folks, I don't understand how you get greater than burning in fire, but that's what he says, okay? I'm not arguing with him. He's the boss. Eternity. You will live forever in the presence or absence of God, reaping the consequences of your beliefs and your actions or your behaviors. A real life in a real place. See, some people think it's going to be like, ooh, like it's vapor floating around. That's not what it is. We're talking about a real life in a real place, eating, drinking, enjoying, or suffering in pain. One of the two. It's that simple, man. It really is that simple. We're reaping the consequences of our behavior on this earth. And he said, "And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Matthew 25. Hallelujah. So there's a separation here. Some get eternally punished. Some get eternal bliss, so to speak. A visual timeline. Pretend like this zero is your 60, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years that you get on this earth. That's right here. The rest of that is after death. Give you kind of a visual thing of what is coming. We will be dead a lot longer than we are alive, so to speak, in the body, that is. What some people don't understand is that God doesn't reward us in this life. See, a whole lot of people think that their rewards are coming now. That's not how it works. You have to die to get them. You have to die in this life to get them. In Luke 14, "And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Hallelujah. When you do a worthy deed for someone who can't repay you, God promises to repay you. You might have long forgot about it. He wrote it down. You just have to wait on it. Now, I agree, and I will tell you this right now. God blesses us in this life on this earth, which means those rewards are so much better than the blessings we get now. Oh, hallelujah. So much better. He blesses us, but our real treasures will come later. What are the real treasures? They're rewards. They're rewards. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. Now let me give you a few little words here. Some of you scholarly people, you might want something. The word reward is the word mythos in the Greek, if I'm saying it right. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but that's the word mythos. It actually means something specific on this earth. It means wages. Wages. So your reward comes in a form of wages. See, people haven't thought about that. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus used this word a lot when he talked to people. In Matthew 20, verse 8, he said, "So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call my laborers and give them their mythos,'" or wages, "beginning from the last to the first." I'm glad I'm the last. We get paid first. Paul also used this word in 1 Timothy. He said, "For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, for the labor is worthy of his mythos,'" or wages. See, we understand the word wages. We may not understand the word reward. Our reward is going to be real wages for works that we did in this life. Now you may be wondering, but Pastor, what do I have to do to be rewarded? I'm so glad you asked me that question. I am so glad, because I'm going to tell you right now. And you might want to write it down real quick, or you might want to go and get a CD or DVD or whatever and watch it again if you're not a fast writer, because I'm not going to go slow. These I'm not going to elaborate on. I'm just going to give them to you. The first thing you have to do, according to Hebrews 11, is you have to seek God. 11 verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the what? Of those who diligently seek Him." How many of you are like this guy? "So Lord, what's the plan today?" You know what I mean? The word "seek" in the Bible means to beat a path. It means to beat such a path that you can actually see a well-worn trail. That's what it means. To seek Him and His will. Now, whether you do that with the Word, or whether you do that with prayer, or whether you do that with you know, abstinence of something, but it means to seek God, okay? Hallelujah. There's rewards in seeking God. Everybody says, "Well, I can't do this or that." Well, for crying out loud, you can seek God. There's rewards in that. Secondly, some people have problems with this one, submitting to an employer. Now, if the guy tells you to go sin, you don't have to submit to it, but consequently, he is the boss, and whatever he says goes, even if it's stupid and you disagree with it. Colossians 3:22-23. "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." What's the word "bondservant" mean? A willing slave. That's who we are. We are what's called bondservants to Jesus because we have willingly submitted our life to Him and His will. If you're saved, you'd have. If you're not saved, then you haven't done that yet and you're not a bond slave. But if you are saved, according to God's eyes, you're considered bond servants. So He's asking us, He says, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. He's not talking about slavery. He's talking about employment. Not with eye servants as men's pleasers. In other words, no butt kissing, if I can put it blunt. Okay? I mean, that's simple as that. But in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord, as unto the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive a reward. Oh my goodness. From the Lord is where the reward comes from. Just for obeying this, you know? You know, Susie's had some hard seasons at work. I had hard seasons at work, you know. She went through one a little while back. It was really a hard season. And I had to let her work her way through it. Because she has told me that she believed the Lord sent her to where she's at, her job. So she believes that she's following God in that job. And then these hard things come up. And I want her to work closer. So if I stick my input in, see, I've done that before. I've learned, keep my nose out. Guys, your wife doesn't want advice. I told you I was right, didn't I? They don't want it. I know you know how to fix it. Because you're a man and you're a fixer. They want an ear and a zipped lip. Man, go ahead, you guys, give them a hand. Give the head. You ladies, if you agree with that. They don't want the advice. I know you got it. I know it's in there. It's just, it's everything to keep it shut. You have to put a zipper there. And I've had to let her work through it. And she's even like criticized me for not giving her advice. But I can't interfere with what the Lord. Now, I know she'll know in her heart when it's done. And so I got to get out of the way. See, that's what this is all about. She chose to obey and things worked out and chose to whatever, submit. Bosses are just human. They make dumb mistakes. That's simple as that, you know. You have to learn that you're not working for them. You know, if you do something for this church, I hope you're not thinking you're doing it for me. Because I ain't got nothing for you. Shoot, I probably won't even praise you. And that's the littlest thing I could do. But I'm one of them big picture people and don't even see the little things, you know. Just the little things that go on to make a service work, I don't see that. I put other people to take care of that stuff. That's why I got deacons. They take care of that stuff. I don't see it, you know. But He, knowing that whatever you do, you work for the Lord. Whether it be a secular job somewhere, you're doing that job for the Lord. So if you're stealing from it, you're stealing from God. Basically. If you're wasting time and not doing the job you're hired to do, you're actually stealing from the Lord. See, you guys think I'm the only one that works for Him. I get mad at my boss, I'm in real trouble. You guys work for Him too. Self-denial. There's a reward in this. Self-denial. Matthew 16, 24 and 27. Then Jesus said to His disciples, anyone comes after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever desires to lose his life for My sake will find it. Confusing. For what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and He will reward each one according to his works. I had to put all that in there so you got the whole gist of that scripture. By denying self. What does that mean? I'm not eating for a week. That ain't what that means. You know, people think that's what that means. That's not what that means. Self-denial, folks, is quite simply this. Doing what God wants you to do. And not what you want to do. Sometimes, oh yes, sometimes, they connect. See, the closer you get to Jesus, the more they connect. He might ask you to pray a specific amount of time. Lord, I don't have time. Well, who's in charge? Self or Him? He might ask you to do something you don't necessarily want to do. Oh, if I could give you a list, it'd be longer than my arms of things He told me to do that I did not want to do. That's what it means to carry a cross. It literally means to be dead to self. I know, but I got a short life. I got to live this thing. Yeah, I know, but you're going to be dead a lot longer. And the rewards come from doing what He wants. I've been in this so long, I give you example after example after example of dumb things people have done. Dumb things. Set them back years because it looked good and they felt like they wanted to do it and they had to do it, and it wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't what God wanted. I don't always like what God wants. Wish I did. But I understand that there's a reward in coming in your life. You know, He makes it really clear. He says, what profit a man if he gains the world? That's everything that you want to do and loses his soul. You know, we have communism today. We have communism in countries today, and they are so trying to get it into this country, it is unbelievable. The Communist Party has taken leaps and bounds in the last 7 years. They are so trying to infiltrate our country. They've infiltrated our higher education systems. They are so trying to turn us into a communist nation. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But the reason there's communism today is because the father of communism, his dad, compromised. His dad moved to a new area where there wasn't a Jewish synagogue. And he was a Jew. Did you guys know the father of communism was a Jew? He moved to a Jewish synagogue, or moved to a town that didn't have a Jewish synagogue. Why? It was good for his business. And he told his son, who went to synagogue every week, we are now going to go to the Lutheran church, which is Protestant. I'm telling you right now, Protestantism and Judaism are night and day. Okay? Lutherans are supposed to believe that Jesus is the Christ. I don't know if they still do, but that's what they're supposed to believe. Judaism doesn't believe that. He was a great prophet. His son looked at him. He said, Dad. He said, but they're not Jews. He said, yes, son, but it is good for my business. And so Karl Marx said, if that's all religion is, I don't want no part of it. I'm going to start my own. And his own was called communism. Because his father was not willing to deny himself. Service to those that are in need in his name. Mark 9:41, for whoever gives a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, you will by no means lose his reward. Oh, hallelujah. And probably the absolute 100% hardest scripture there is in the Bible to fulfill is this one right here, Philippians 2 and 4. Let each one of you look out not for his own interest, but for the interest of others. That is the hardest scripture. And the reason why that's in that book is because that whole section talks about being like Jesus. Being like Jesus. Every time you give away a bag of groceries in Jesus' name, every time, he even makes it simple. I mean, you know, we do auctions, raise money, buy groceries. There's so much that goes on in giving that stuff away. People don't even understand all the logistics of it. He says, so nobody has an excuse. I'm going to make it as simple as a cup of water. Because everybody has that. You give that in my name to somebody who's thirsty, and there's a reward. Oh, hallelujah. There's a reward in that. Suffering for his name. We don't like this one. I've already talked about this one. Luke 6, blessed are you when men hate you. They will exclude you, revile you, cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Anytime you are called to suffer, you tell your family member about Jesus and they get mad at you. In this life, in this country that we live in, that's an example. You have an employer that doesn't like you because of your religion. You have a co-worker that doesn't like you because of your faith. You have somebody who's always trying to do something against you because of your faith. This is where the reward system comes in. That is, if you let Jesus reward you and you don't go ahead and take it now and take vengeance out on them and then lose that reward. You let God be the judge and the rewarder, and things are taken care of. Somebody say amen. Everybody has had those experiences. Sacrifice for him. Sacrifice for him. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend. Hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Some may even receive a hundredfold blessing for their suffering. In Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and father and mother and wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. One experience in the New Testament, one experience in the Old Testament of hundredfold reaping. The first one is found when Isaac sowed in a famine. The second one is found by giving it all up for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Finally, sharing your time, talent, and treasure to advance God's kingdom on this earth. 1 Timothy 6, let them do good and be rich in good works, willing to give, willing to share, storing up for yourselves, everybody say storing, a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. And as you can see, these are the things that we receive, that we do on this earth physically, the seven different things that we do, that we actually can receive a reward in heaven. Oh, hallelujah, for doing them. You might be tempted to give up. That's not what you want to do. That's not what you want to do. You can't sell out for a temporary fix. I don't have time, but if I could tell you this woman's story, I think everybody in here knows who that is. You guys know who that is, don't you? That's Mother Teresa. You ever heard of her? Never heard of her. She was in line to be one of the hierarchies in the nuns until she went to India as a young girl. And as a young girl in India, she gave her heart to the Indian people and died a very old woman in India, basically. She gave up everything to wipe lepers' heads, to hold them in her arms. Our job is to snatch them from the fire. That's our job. Jude 23, snatching them from the fire. Oh, hallelujah. I say this very humbly, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Bow your knee, give your life to Him. It's that simple. Live the remaining days of your life as an example for Jesus. You know? If you go to hell, you're going to end up with this guy. He's going to be one of your co-partners. These guys are all going to be with you. Who in the world would want to go to hell with those guys? I don't even want to think about it. This is what he says. Anyway, I don't know why I'm in hell. I did nothing to justify being condemned to hell. No, only killed 6 million people, that's all. So he could blot out the Jewish race from the planet only because he believed in Darwin's theory that's taught in our schools that the Jewish race is lower than the Negro race. And as soon as I get done with the Jews, I'm going after the Negroes. That was his plan. This is God's simple plan. Hell, you're lost. Heaven, you're saved. You go to the judgment. You go to heaven rewards. You go to hell lake of fire. It's that simple. Stand up with me.